to see her cell phone. His eyes sprang to life. He spent 10 minutes playing with the thing, then handed it back with an air of regret, saying,
"I had a BlackBerry. Things sucked."
Zoe asked Banger if he was hungry.
"No," he said. "Because I'm dead, if you want to get technical about it. But what are you offering?"
"I've got some seitan and quinoa my mom made," said Zoe. Banger lifted an eyebrow.
"Those aren't real words," he said.
"There's also junk food in the vending machine," said Zoe. Now his eyes were shining.
"Are Skittles still a thing?" he said.
Zoe opened the register for cash, then she and Banger trooped downstairs. The vending machines hummed expectantly in the vacant hall. The drink machine was the only new thing in this entire building. It was the science fiction-y kind that sends a miniature elevator up and over to retrieve your selection. Banger gazed at it in fascination. He agonized about what to buy for 5 minutes. Zoe found it touching. They returned to the lobby with $14 worth of energy drinks, candy, chips, and gum. They sat on the stone floor, the loot piled between them. The night sky had turned from blue to black. Zoe wasn't particularly hungry. Still, she got a kick out of the way Banger devoured the candy. She leaned back on her hands and watched. Eventually, she figured, he'd get around to delivering X's message.
"Sorry I've been jerking you around," he said at last.
His face was still pink from the hot pool, his mouth smeared with chocolate.
"I know you want to hear about X. It's just that I know once I tell you everything, you're going to get bored of me and kick me out."
"I won't," said Zoe softly. "I don't have anywhere to go. I mean, my boyfriend's in hell." Banger smiled mysteriously.
"Not for long, maybe," he said.
Her heart jumped. When Banger finally began to spill, Zoe could barely take in all the details because her brain was spinning so fast. All she wanted to hear, all she cared about in the world, was finding out whether she'd see X again. The Lords had put him on trial, Banger said. X had shouted them down. He'd questioned their authority. Banger was shocked that X had it in him.
"I mean, the dude never even talks," he said. "Am I right?"
"Stop it," said Zoe defensively. "He's shy, but he talks."
"Oh," said Banger. "Somebody's got a crush."
Zoe blushed, but recovered quickly. "Do not even make fun of my star-crossed supernatural love," she said. Banger grinned. His teeth, Zoe couldn't help but notice, were chipped and gray.
"Anyway, X does talk now," he said. "You must have taught him how to stand up for himself. I can already tell you're a lot cooler than him."
Banger poured half a bag of Skittles into his mouth. A strange decision, given that he was already chewing gum. Zoe watched, weirdly mesmerized. How could he swallow the candy without swallowing the gum? She'd never seen anyone even try.
"Were you always this disgusting?" she asked him.
"Oh, much, much more so," he said.
His mouth was grinding away like a cement mixer as he continued his story. The trial had ended in chaos, he said. Finally, one of the Lords brought X the verdict. Here, Banger appeared to get hit with a sugar high and, at the pivotal moment in his story, went on a tangent that Zoe found excruciating.
"The Lord that showed up?" he said. "Only cool Lord in the whole place. We call him Regent. He treats X like a son, almost. Anyway, sorry, lost my train of thought."
He giggled.
"Choo-choo, choo-choo," he said. "Train of thought, get it?"
Zoe gave him a stern look. "Tell me what happened," she said, "or I will take away your candy."
Banger opened his mouth wide to air out his tongue.
You gotta take a chill pill, he said.
No one says that anymore, said Zoe.
Yeah, they didn't even say it when I was alive, said Banger. But it's a solid expression. Hey, is Taylor Swift still a thing? Is Chipotle still a thing?
He thought for a moment.
Is saying, is that a thing, still a thing?
Annoyed, Zoe reached forward and began pulling the candy away from him piece by piece. A Reese's, a Power Bar, a Twix.
Not the Twix, said Banger. It's a candy bar and a cookie.
He delivered the rest of the story in a rush.
They told X he has to collect one more soul. If he doesn't screw it up, if he doesn't run crying to you or whatever, he'll be set free. He can leave the lowlands forever.
Zoe listened as Banger spoke, her heart charging ahead of her.
Forever? She said. I didn't know that was even possible.
Me neither, said Banger. I still don't understand half the rules. Friggin' place should have a website.
Zoe stood, so full of energy and emotion that she all but ran across the lobby. She didn't want Banger to see her face.
I can't believe it, she said. It's so fair, because he shouldn't have been there in the first place. He was an innocent little kid, and they treated him as if he was some kind of monster, like...
She broke off.
Like me?
Said Banger. I'm sorry, said Zoe. I'm not judging you. All I know is you were a bartender and you stabbed somebody in a bar. I don't even know why. I'm just glad that X doesn't have to suffer anymore. Neither of them spoke, as Zoe absorbed the astounding news about X. The only thing that stopped her from tap dancing around the room was that she felt sorry for Banger. He would never be free. He shoved the remaining junk food into his pockets now. She could hear the potato chips splintering into dust as he forced them in, and threw the empty wrappers into the trash.
You don't have to leave, said Zoe.
Do you? Can you stay a bit? Banger seemed touched by the invitation. He smiled and sat back down on the stone floor. Zoe pointed to a tattoo on his right arm. A weird, spotted animal with a spiked tail and a long, curving neck that nearly touched the ground.
X has that one, too, she said. I never asked him about it.
You have different animals in the lowlands, huh? Banger snorted.
We actually don't, he said. The guy who inks all the bounty hunters? He's this senile old dude who's been dead since, like, Pompeii. And he doesn't remember what a lot of animals actually look like. This one is supposed to be a giraffe.
No way, said Zoe.
Way, said Banger.
People don't say that anymore either, said Zoe.
I figured, said Banger. Anyway, I wigged out when I saw the tat. This thing with the horns is supposed to be a monkey.
Zoe laughed. She thought of Never Don't Stop. Would she ever date a guy with normal tattoos? Does X know they aren't real animals? She said.
I never told him, said Banger. It'd break his heart. And I'm kind of protective of him. Because, like you said, he's an innocent. Don't you tell him either, okay?
I won't, said Zoe. She smiled. I'm kind of protective of him, too.
Zoe glanced at her watch. It was nearly 10. Soon her mom would be outside honking for her. She didn't want Banger to go. He was her only connection to X, and she liked him. But he had an evil bus driver to find. His eyes had lost their glint. His sugar high had ended. He seemed to be crashing and was sweating faintly again. Banger had endangered himself by even taking an hour to deliver X's message. He'd put himself at the mercy of not just the trembling, but the Lords. Zoe had been so obsessed with her own feelings that it hadn't occurred to her.
"Are you going to get in trouble for coming here?" she asked.
Banger shrugged.
"Yeah, maybe," he said. "But after the mess I made of my life, they can't do anything to me I don't deserve."
He stared down at his hands, just for something to look at. They were calloused and bruised and held nothing.
"You know how you said you didn't judge me?"
he said.
"Yeah," said Zoe.
"You should," he said. "I'm not anything like X. I wish I was."
Zoe didn't know what to say. She waited.
"You know why I stabbed that guy?"
said Banger.
"Because he was acting like a dipshit, and I was in a bad mood."
He paused.
"My whole life was a bad mood."
Zoe didn't want to hear any more.
"You don't have to talk about this," she said.
"I want to," Banger said. "After I killed him, I emptied the cash register and bolted. Never spoke to my wife or daughter again. Because what would I say?"
Again he paused.
"My daughter was autistic. She had this thing where you couldn't hug her. It just, like, overloaded her system. She'd totally freak out. She'd be 8 now. Probably has no idea if I'm alive or dead."
Banger looked away.
"So anyway, yeah. You can judge me."
It was Zoe's turn to look at her hands.
"Are you sorry?"
she managed.
"God, yes," said Banger.
He pulled off his hat, revealing again the catastrophic bruises that he'd inflicted on himself.
"Have you met my forehead?"
Zoe frowned. Seeing his forehead the second time was no easier than the first.
"Being sorry's got to count for something," she said.
"Does it?"
said Banger, as he pulled his hat back on.
"I'm not so sure. It's pretty easy to say you're sorry, especially once you get caught."
Zoe asked him if he ever thought of trying to visit his wife and daughter while he was out of the lowlands.
"I'm too ashamed," he said. "I've had a lot of time to think deep thoughts, and here's the thing. You can't do what I did to my family and expect them to forgive you. Hearts are fragile, the good ones at least. Best thing would be if they decided I was just a bad dream."
Banger stood, wincing as he unfolded his long limbs. Zoe followed him to the door. The candy in his pockets creaked and crunched with every step. Outside, the wind was blowing the snow around. After the warm, humid air inside piping hot springs, it came as a shock to the skin. There was a lamp above the door. Banger stood in the small cone of light, as if it would warm him. He rubbed his bare arms and squinted into the distance.
"You can't go running around Montana without a coat," said Zoe.
"What's it gonna do? Kill me?" said Banger.
Zoe groaned at the joke. She went inside and retrieved X's overcoat. She held it open for Banger.
"You serious?"
he said, slipping his arms into the sleeves before she could change her mind.
"You are the bomb diggity."
Zoe rolled her eyes, but fondly. There was no way this guy had ever kept up with slang.
"Will you tell X I love him?" she said. "And will you give him some of the candy?"
"I'll tell him you love him," said Banger. "But no way can he have my candy."
He stepped out of the light and onto the snow.
"No matter what happens with you and X," he said, "I'm glad he ran into you. He's a good dude, and you've given him a little bit of life."
"Do you think the Lords will really set him free?" said Zoe.
"Be honest, I can handle it." "No, wait, don't be honest. I can't handle it." She released a long, tired breath.
"The odds aren't very good, huh?" she said.
Banger was just a voice in the darkness now.
"Who cares about odds?" he said. "What were the odds that he'd ever meet somebody like you?"
Part 4. A Divided Heart. 15. One more soul. The words shouted in X's brain. He turned on his side in his cell. Despite Ripper's nursing, his wounds weren't entirely healed, and they cried out as they scraped the ground. He didn't care. He lived in his mind now. His body existed only to prop it up. One more soul. He could only see Zoe again if he brought the Lords a final bounty. He thought of the overworld, of the hunters with their necklaces of geese, of the cannibals who wore skulls on a rope. How many could you wear before the weight of the dead pulled you to the ground? He would snatch their soul for them. Of course he would. All that troubled him was how simple it sounded. He turned the phrase, "one more soul," over and over in his head. He searched for the trap door hidden between the words. What if they required an innocent man? What if they demanded a child? He was consumed with seeing Zoe, thinking of her, thinking of Jonah, even thinking of their mother who had grown cold toward him, sent a bolt of anguish through him. Still, there were things he would not do, even if the Lords commanded him. It was not that he was too noble. He wasn't. It was that he didn't want to disappoint Zoe. She would not want horrors committed in her name. X decided that he himself was the only true danger. When Regent, it was too perilous to even think of him as Tarek, sent him to the overworld to hunt the last soul, would he run to Zoe instead? Would he enrage the Lords and obliterate his single hope for happiness? Could he stop himself? Even now he could feel Zoe's fingers on three very particular places. His lips, his hips, his shoulders. He shivered, as if she were in the cell with him, wrapped around him like a vine, and breathing onto his neck. How could it be that the thing that made him strong also brought him to his knees? A sudden noise interrupted X's thoughts. The Russian guard was escorting someone down the corridor. X heard a voice say, "Chillax! It's not like I forgot where my friggin' cell is, dude." It was Banger. X leaped to his feet. He had to know if his friend had seen Zoe, as he had asked him to. Had begged him to, really. It was all he could do not to scream the question in front of the Russian. He held his tongue. He waited for the men to come into view. The guard strode in front. Rather than his usual powder blue tracksuit, he wore a shining cherry red one. He was so towering and wide, and strutted so proudly in his new finery, that X could barely see Banger behind him. But there he was. And he, too, was dressed in some new garment. It was so deeply blue it was nearly black. X did not recognize it for a moment. Then it struck him. It was his own overcoat. Banger had seen Zoe. The guard thrust his key into the cell next door. He waited for Banger to catch up, idly snorting up phlegm and then swallowing it. Banger shuffled into his cell. X craned his neck, desperate to catch his eye, but the Russian blocked his view. X cursed silently. He was about to withdraw into his own cell when Banger leaned back out and looked directly at X. He flipped up the collar of the coat and winked. The Russian loitered for ages. Mostly, he paraded manfully back and forth in front of Ripper, who took a perverse pleasure in flirting with him.
"You have noticed new suit, yes?" said the guard.
"Oh, I have indeed," said Ripper.
You cut a dashing figure. You will be the talk of the lowlands.
You may touch suit, said the guard. Do not tell others. They may not touch suit.
The guard reached his arm into Ripper's cell. X shook his head as he watched. He was not in the least surprised when Ripper bit the man.
You are monster,
cried the Russian, pulling his arm back and inspecting his cherry red sleeve for rips.
You have teeth of animal.
Still, he lingered at her cell another half hour. X had nearly exploded with frustration when he heard Banger whisper.
Come to the bars, he said. Fast.
X did as he was instructed.
One, two, three, said Banger.
He thrust the coat through the bars. X grabbed for it and pulled it into his cell.
Zoe rocks, said Banger. She said she loves you, and I said you love her, etc., etc. It's all good in the hood.
He paused.
There's a candy bar for you in the pocket.
How can I thank you? Said X.
It's just a candy bar, dude, said Banger.
You mistake my meaning, said X. How can I thank you for being a true friend to me, when I was never much of a friend to you?
The words must have meant something to Banger, for he was silent a while.
Ain't no thing, he said. You are wrong, said X. It is very much a thing.
A thought occurred to him. He took off the purple shirt with the curly white stitching. He folded it carefully, smoothing out the creases as best he could. It was a garish object, yet he had seen Banger covet it. X crouched down by the bars.
One, two, three, he said.
He passed the shirt to Banger. He could hear him giggling as he slipped it on.
Dude, said Banger. I look friggin' hot in this.
By the time the Russian lumbered away, Banger had fallen into a deep animal sleep, exhausted by his adventures in the overworld. X sat against the wall, the overcoat spread over his lap. It was wet from Banger's fall into the river. Still, when X pressed his face against it, he could detect the faintest scent of Zoe's skin. It went through him like a flame. Thanks to Jonah, X actually knew what a candy bar was, and, looking for relief from his thoughts, he slipped a hand into one of the coat pockets. Instead of candy, he found a piece of paper. Both sides were covered with markings he could not identify. The mystery of what it said was unbearable. Maybe it was a message from Zoe? He asked Ripper if she was awake. He spoke just loudly enough to ensure that he would wake her if she wasn't.
I am always awake, said Ripper. Surely you know that by now? My brain is like a fireworks factory.
Might you read something to me? Said X.
Something I have discovered in my coat?
Pass it to me, said Ripper.
Quickly. That ridiculous Russian will soon be back for another bite.
X maneuvered the paper through the bars. He listened as Ripper unfolded it, his heart racing.
It is a list of some kind, she announced at last. Is this the hand of your blurting girl? Heavens! She scrawls like an unschooled child. She is incapable of spelling raisins, and her fondness for the capital Y borders on the terrifying.
She studied the paper further.
Wait, she said. The writing on the other side is not nearly so maddening.
Read it out to me, said X. Ripper cleared her throat and began.
Dear X, here is a letter for you. You're probably thinking that A, I have no way of sending it, and B, you don't know how to read anyway.
So, yeah, this isn't a totally practical letter. I get it. Can we move on now, please? I have to get these words out of my brain. They're killing me. I don't care if they never go farther than this piece of paper. Maybe that will help. Anyway, here's the main thing I want to say. I'm taking a super deep breath. Picture me taking a super deep breath, okay? The minute you left, I realized I loved you. Crap, I'm already running out of paper. I should have written smaller. Ripper broke off suddenly. I must say, she is a very unconventional correspondent, she said. Is there no more? Said X desperately. Yes, yes, there's more, my lovesick boy, said Ripper. Restrain yourself, she continued. The minute I wake up now, my thoughts go straight to you, like gravity pulled them there. You tried so hard not to take Stan. You trusted me when I said it was wrong. Watching you suffer for what was right was the first thing that made me love you, I think. Then there were a ton of other things that I don't have enough paper for. I hate your sadness, X, even more than I hate my own. When you come back, please come back. Let's get rid of our sadness, okay? When you come back, please, please come back. Let's bury our sadness under 15 feet of snow. Love, Zoe. X said nothing. Zoe's words faded into the air, and he leaned forward, listening hard, as if he could pull them back into being. Would you read it again? He said. Of course, said Ripper. For even I think it is lovely in its way. But I must ask how many times you shall require me to read it, until it is fixed in my memory, and I can speak every word back to you, he said. After a dozen readings, X finally let Ripper rest. She returned the paper to him, and withdrew to the back of her cell, complaining about the state of her throat. X ran his fingers over the letter, trying to connect the markings on the paper with the words he had memorized. He taught himself love and Zoe, as well as super deep and crap. Then he sat for hours holding the paper and the coat. He wondered when Regent would send him for the final soul. He wondered if he could survive the terrible wait. He whispered to Ripper that Regent had told him his true name. Ripper did not answer immediately. Do not even tell me what it is, she said. He is a lunatic for having revealed it. I will never tell a soul, said X. The churning of his brain finally tired him. Sleep hit him so unexpectedly that he dropped off while sitting against the wall and balancing Zoe's letter on his palm as if it were made of glass. He dreamed he was back in the Lord's giant chamber. It was empty. He had snuck in. The marble steps gleamed. The river rushed overhead. He had only seconds to do what he needed to do. He strode to the wall where the map of the lowlands was embedded in the marble like some massive fossil. He searched for clues about where his parents were held. He ran his fingers along the symbols. There were too many, and he could not decipher them. The rock began to burn under his touch. He was not supposed to be there. The map knew that, somehow. His face was hit with a wave of heat. When X wrenched himself from the dream, he found that the dark bruises on his cheeks were burning, and that Regent had come with the name of the 16th soul. X was startled to see the Lord in his cell. How long had he been there? Why hadn't he woken him? What reason could there be for delaying, even by a moment, his final hunt? X rubbed the sleep from his eyes, but that only made the pain worse. He took a breath to steady himself. He looked up again at Regent, and saw that his face was heavy with sorrow. Something was wrong. The certainty of it hit X's heart like a hammer. Regent didn't speak, didn't move. He just regarded X miserably, his dark, muscular arms hanging at his side, as if the blood were draining out of him. Nothing about the moment was ordinary. Nothing was right. X wanted to ask Regent what he meant by his silence, but his brain was so frantic now that it could not build a simple sentence. X began to stand, desperate to break the stillness of the cell. Regent, moving for the first time, like a statue suddenly coming to life, shook his head and gestured for X to lie on his back. X should have been relieved that the ritual was about to begin, that the moment he could touch Zoe again was finally drawing nearer, that something like life would finally unfold. Instead, he lay down as if into a grave. Regent knelt beside him. He opened his right hand. X could see the lines that ran like rivers through his palm. He closed his eyes and waited for the hand to descend. It did not. After a moment, X opened his eyes again. He stared up at the Lord questioningly. He did not think he could bear another moment. At last, Regent spoke. "The Lowlands require another soul for its collection," he began, as he always did. "He is an evil man, unrepentant and unpunished." Instead of going on, Regent paused, and another maddening silence filled the cell. When he spoke again, he departed from the ritual's ancient text. X had never heard a lord sound so wounded and raw. "This name," said Regent, "is not of my choosing." X opened his mouth to speak, but before he could get a word out, the Lord had plunged down his hand. The name entered X's blood. The name was Leo Wrigley. It meant nothing to X. But then Leo's story hit X's veins, and X howled like an animal at the shock of it. He tried to push Regent away, flailing for his arms, his neck, anything. Regent stared down, his eyes full of pity. He tightened his grip on X's face until the bones threatened to snap, and pinned him to the ground. Suddenly, X was on a rocky beach somewhere, his brain black with pain and rage. He began stumbling along the water's edge. The winds blew cold at his back. The tide, foaming and gray, swarmed over his boots. He'd planned to collect this last soul as quickly as he could, so he could rush back to Zoe. But that was impossible, now that he knew the man's story. He plodded forward almost against his will, his heart full of lead. Beneath him, the ground was strewn with enormous logs that had been bleached by the sun. They looked like bones. The trembling grew stronger as he walked, pulling him forward like a chain. Still, the pain was nothing compared to X's anger. Who had chosen Leo Wrigley? Had the name been passed down from the higher power, or was it a ploy of dervishes? The Lowlands had no need for the puny man that X had been sent for. X was certain of that. The man had sinned, yes. But was he really unrepentant? X didn't believe it. And if the Lowlands wanted this soul, why hadn't they sent a hunter decades ago? No. The one the Lords truly wanted to punish was X. He had defied them. He had stood up. He had told them he was better than they were. That he was pure and noble. That he was worthy of love. And now they would strike him down. They would strip him of everything. X stomped over the rocks. Above him, the clouds were dense and dark. It was as if his own fury had put them there. When he had walked a half mile down the beach, a hard rain began to fall and made the ocean boil. There were only a few people within sight. Old men who waved strange metal instruments over the sand, then stooped every so often to dig up a can or a coin. They rushed for the boardwalks between the cliffs now. X kept walking, indifferent to the storm. The rain was cold and slipped down his face. He could not take this soul. He knew that. The lords knew it too. They knew that he'd give up every hope of freedom first. Still, he wanted to lay his eyes on the man he was about to sacrifice himself for. He continued down the beach. It would not be long before he was back in the lowlands. His cell was a stony mouth waiting to swallow him forever. Near the end of the beach, X felt the pain in his body flare, and looked up to see his prey coming toward him in the rain. The man was tall and wiry. He wore glasses and a red wool hat, which bobbed up and down as he walked. It was the only fleck of color in sight. The rain crashed down in sheets now. The shore was deserted except for the bounty hunter and the soul he had come for. Between them, there was a cliff that had been hollowed out by the tide. It rose up and over the beach like a giant curling wave. The man ducked beneath it to get out of the rain and took a seat on a fallen tree trunk. X stopped 100 feet away, his boots sinking into the spongy sand. Should he turn back or continue? Every possibility, every thought, every emotion rushed at him at once. The man saw X standing in the downpour. He cocked his head. "What are you doing out there?" He waved for him to come under the cliff. He gestured to the tree trunk he sat on. "Plenty of room right here." Even in his torment, X found the innocence of the invitation touching. The man had no idea that X had been commissioned to kill him. X stepped into the shelter and sat without speaking. Above them, rainwater struck the top of the stony wave, then dripped off its outermost edge, like a beaded curtain. X looked at the ocean, at the bed of stones at his feet, at the smooth, curling wall of rock behind him, at everything but the man sitting beside him. "Gonna be a while," said the man. X wanted to turn, wanted to speak, but found he could do neither. The man barreled ahead, unfazed. "How freaking awesome is this rock?" he said, pointing up at the cliff behind them. "Sandstone. Coolest thing I've ever seen." X finally turned to him. The man looked as harmless as a leaf. X searched for something to say, but there was so much violence in his brain that it crowded out all thought. The man smiled expectantly. "Is this your first time in Canada?" he said. X furrowed his brow. "Is this Canada?" he said. The man laughed, and X realized, with relief, that he thought he was kidding. The man was in his 40s. He had a mop of brown hair and surprising green eyes that X recognized somehow. Beneath his jacket, he wore dingy clothes. His boots, coat, and glasses had all been repaired with the same shiny black tape. His clothes smelled like fish. He saw X notice the odor. "I've been doing some ice fishing," the man said. "It's awful hard to make any kind of living up here." X felt an intense wave of loneliness pouring off his bounty. Ordinarily, he didn't pretend to know what went on in people's hearts, but loneliness was one of the few emotions he felt qualified to judge. The man removed a glove and offered his hand to X. "I'm Leo Wrigley," he said. "What's your name?" X looked down at the man's hand, which was pink and splotchy from the cold. He couldn't make himself take it. Was it because of what the man had done? Was it because X was ashamed that he was meant to murder him? He wasn't sure, but it was as if his arms were bound to his sides. The man's smile faltered. He withdrew his hand and gave X a long, hurt look. Only now did X realize why he had recognized the man's eyes. They looked like Jonah's eyes. X stood. He had to get away. The pain was too much. "Your name is not Leo Wrigley any more than mine is," he told the man. "It may be what you call yourself now, but it is not your true name." X ducked through the curtain of rainwater that fell from the cliff and walked toward the noisy sea. He thought of Zoe. He would go to her now and see her one last time before he descended back to the only home he had ever deserved. He didn't know how he would tell her, or if he would tell her, that her father was still alive. 16. Zoe woke up giddy, as if someone had injected her with light. It was Sunday morning. Her body ached from caving. Still, it was the right kind of ache, an athlete's ache. At 9 o'clock, her mother peeked her head in and asked if she wanted to go into town with her. Zoe could hardly turn her head toward the door.
"Only if you have a stretcher," she said.
"Terrific," said her mother, leaning down to stroke her hair. "Now I have two kids who can't leave the house."
"Stop, stop, stop," said Zoe. "That hurts."
"Your hair hurts?" said her mother. "Is that even possible?"
"Apparently," said Zoe.
When her mom left, Zoe inched her way to the edge of the bed, her muscles resisting even this tiny journey. Once upright, she staggered out of her bedroom and lurched across the hall to Jonah's room, where she shouted, "Move, bug, move!" and collapsed onto his bed a fraction of a second after he had scrambled out of it. Jonah listened to her groan for 5 minutes, then clambered back onto the ladybug, kissed her on the cheek, and said, "You are in no condition to be in charge." He went down to the kitchen and made a tremendous amount of noise while constructing some sort of breakfast for her. Zoe heard so many machines ping and grind and whirl. The microwave, the blender, the Vitamix, the dehydrator, the cake mixer? That she shuddered to think what lay in store for her. Still, it was the first time in days that Jonah had seemed like Jonah. It was because she'd gone caving. She would have done a dance if her body had been up to it. Jonah's laptop was open on the floor. He'd made her "I Will Come Back" photo his desktop background. At 9:30, Jonah pushed the door open with his bare foot and entered bearing a breakfast tray, which he laid beside Zoe with great ceremony. Zoe forced herself upright. Gazing down at the tray, she was surprised to find that Jonah had spent 30 minutes on a bowl of cereal, a glass of chocolate soy milk, and a bottle of Advil. "What was with all that noise, bug?" she said. Jonah looked confused.
"I was just playing," he said brightly. "Did you think I was making you eggs Benedict? I'm 8.
Zoe eventually limped downstairs to the couch. She'd spent so many hours there lately that the cushions were molded in the shape of her body. She tried to do some calculus homework, but even the textbook seemed to know her mind was elsewhere. "Solve for X," it told her. Zoe napped. She reread the article about Stan obsessively. Where had X found a purple cowboy shirt? And she ate lunch, thanks to Jonah, who made her a peanut butter and banana sandwich on gluten-free bread in just under 35 minutes. By afternoon, she was bored, so she guilted Val into visiting by playing up her aches and pains and Snapchatting her 5 selfies, in which she made increasingly miserable faces. Val came over in her pajamas, red flannel bottoms and a pink t-shirt that said, "I want to be a housewife." As always, She brought a great jolt of energy into the house. She scratched Spock's and Uhura's bellies. She painted Jonah's toenails green. She raved to Zoe about her girlfriend, Gloria, in such minute detail that it seemed insane, then touching, and then insane again. Spending time with Val was so effortless that Zoe found herself almost teary with gratitude. It was like being lifted by a tide. Just as it got dark, they heard a truck in the drive. Zoe's legs were so stiff that they buckled as she went to the window. "It's Dallas," she said.
"Oh," said Val. "This should be interesting."
"You will be nice," said Zoe.
"I doubt it," said Val.
Jonah scampered to the door. Dallas's wrist was still bandaged from his fall, and he was carrying a shopping bag, but Jonah wanted a piggyback ride into the living room, and got one. Zoe always felt a pang when she saw how much her brother loved having guys in the house. It was like the sonar ping on a submarine. Zoe knew that not even the sum total of X, Rufus, and Dallas could fill the empty place where their dad used to be. Dallas's goofy smile faltered when he saw Val. He knew she only tolerated him for Zoe's benefit. He set his bag on the floor shyly. There was a present peeking out of it, wrapped in fancy blue and gold paper. The corners were so crisp and perfect that Zoe figured one of Dallas's parents had done it for him. He remained standing because Jonah was still hanging off his back, like a cape. Zoe watched as Dallas's neck got pink, then red. "Jonah, get off him, okay?" she said. "He needs to do stuff like breathe." Her brother did as he was told, but the moment Dallas took a seat, Jonah plopped down on his lap. There was silence for a while. Val was not just reveling in the awkwardness now, but actually bathing in it. She pointed to the package at Dallas's feet.
"I can't stand the suspense," she said. "What'd you get me?"
Dallas sagged, embarrassed. He looked at Zoe.
"It's just something to commemorate you killing it at Silver Teardrop," he said. "You can open it later. It's probably stupid."
"Thank you, Dallas," said Zoe. "I was pretty hardcore, right?"
"You were full on, dog," he said.
"Open it now," said Val. "I'd like to see what it is."
"Me too," said Jonah, who was rocking back and forth on Dallas's lap.
"I'm gonna wait, Bug," said Zoe. She turned to Val and whispered, "Stop being a dick." It was too late anyway. Jonah was off and running.
"Open it! Open it!" he said. "Please and thank you! Please and thank you!"
Dallas drew the present reluctantly from the bag.
"Actually, Jonah sort of inspired it, so it's kind of for him, too," he said.
He handed the box to Jonah, who tore into the wrapping paper. The noise brought Zoe's mom to the room. She just returned from town and stood leaning against the doorway. The whole situation was out of control, awkward now. Zoe's heart went out to Dallas, who was reddening again. Jonah pulled the lid off the box. Inside, there was what looked like an antique quilt. It was covered with hexagons in a dozen colors. Even from across the room, Zoe could see how beautiful it was, though she couldn't figure out what it had to do with caving. Jonah frowned into the box. He was trying to decipher it, too.
"Wow, that's a gorgeous quilt," said Zoe's mom, just to break the silence.
"It is," said Val. "I'm not even kidding."
"Thank you so much, Dallas," said Zoe.
"I love it. But..."
She was about to say that she didn't exactly understand it, but she feared it would hurt Dallas's feelings. Fortunately, Jonah turned out to be smarter than she was.
"It's a blanket for Dad," he said, "so he won't be cold."
30 seconds later,
Zoe's phone buzzed, and she looked down and saw that Val had texted her from the other end of the couch. "The dude is in love with you. You're the one being a dick, you dick. Tell him no hope. Tell him X." "Told him already," Zoe texted back. "Tell him again. Hurt him if you have to. Better now than later." Zoe put her phone down before it became obvious to everybody that she and Val were texting each other. Within a few minutes, she had kicked everyone out of the room as politely as she could. She asked Dallas to hang out a second so they could talk. Once everyone had drifted away, Val had hugged Dallas goodbye, and not even ironically. Zoe sat up on the couch and fished around for words. The sun was dropping behind the mountains. The room was more shadow than light. Dallas stared at her glumly, knowing that he'd done something wrong, but not knowing what it was.
"I need to know the name of the girl who's going to say yes," said Zoe. "And I need to know when you're going to ask her out."
"Why?" said Dallas nervously.
"Because I need to know it's not me," said Zoe.
"It's not you," said Dallas.
"Stop it."
"I hope not, dog, because I swear to God I will not say yes," said Zoe. "I am the girl who's never gonna say yes. I mean, I think you're awesome. You've totally grown on me. As a friend. However..." Dallas was in misery. He would not look at her.
"Stop, stop, stop," he said. "I don't want the friend speech. It's Ming Yu, okay? I'm going to ask out Ming Yu."
Zoe was shocked. "Ming Yu from Spanish?" she said. "Ming Yu the Satanist?"
"She's not an actual Satanist," said Dallas. "She's just complicated. And complicated's good, right?"
He looked up at Zoe.
"I finally figured that out."
Zoe beamed.
"Happy to help," she said.
That night, after her friends had all gone, Zoe finally departed the couch, her muscles still aching. She was trudging around the kitchen like a wounded Civil War soldier when her mom offered to drop her off at the hot springs for a soak. They tried to coax Jonah into coming along for the ride. He refused and threatened to lock himself in his room if they asked again. Jonah watched from the window as Zoe and her mom left. He'd never been alone in the house before. The hot springs were so still and dark that the mountains seemed to have gobbled them up. After her mom dropped her off, Zoe let herself in, singing loudly and switching on every light she could find, including the strings of white Christmas lights that had yet to be taken down from the windows. The empty locker room spooked her slightly, thanks to 100 high school horror movies. She changed quickly. Her bathing suit was a black retro one-piece with a halter top that she'd spent too much money on and literally never worn. And then grabbed a towel and darted back into the hall. She had forgotten flip-flops. She tiptoed down the cold concrete corridor, avoiding the puddles that covered the floor like a chain of lakes. Outdoors, the air was frigid. Zoe had forgotten how the cold took your breath away, how it electrified your skin even as you walked to the pool. Within seconds, her shoulders were shaking and her hands were in fists. The water was shiny and dark. She stepped into it and crouched down low so it could spill over her shoulders. Her muscles relaxed, but her brain just wouldn't. She didn't like the way the mountains loomed over her in the dark. She felt stupid for having come alone. Zoe turned onto her back and paddled to the center of the pool. Her dad had taught her all the names of the constellations, but she'd forgotten most of them. So she gazed up and, trying to distract herself, invented new ones. She named one cluster of stars the Candy of Banger and another X's Arms. After that, She closed her eyes and floated around peacefully, her legs and arms flung wide like the spokes of a wheel. Then she began to feel that maybe she wasn't alone. She heard a hum that did not sound like the wind. She became weirdly conscious of the rustling of the trees. She thought about how she was miles from anywhere, how she was surrounded by black mountains, how she'd left her phone in the locker, how she didn't even have a car. She kept her eyes closed, but couldn't shake off the nervousness. It felt like someone dragging their fingernails up the side of her body. When she finally opened her eyes, she was so surprised by what she saw that her heart began hammering. The water that she floated on, the water that held her up and splashed in tiny waves over her legs and arms, had turned orange and red. It had begun to glow. She pivoted toward the stream that fed the pool. It looked like a river of fire, and someone was rising out of it. A man was coming toward Zoe. The water was streaming off him. She waited, barely breathing. She told herself that it had to be Banger. It was X.
"You are such a show-off," she shouted. "You scared the crap out of me."
X didn't answer until he reached her. He seemed to take forever. Finally, he knelt by the pool, his beautiful face emitting its usual pale light.
"I was so desperate for you I could not think clearly," he said. "Might that serve as an apology?"
Zoe smiled.
"Yeah, that'll work," she said.
She reached up for his hand.
"Can you help me get out?"
X leaned toward her.
"A little closer?" she said.
X bent over the water, obediently, and Zoe pulled him in. When he had righted himself, he stood waist-deep in the water, looking confused. His hair and overcoat dripped into the pool.
"That's what you get for scaring the hell out of me," said Zoe.
"By the way, if you were a regular person, you would never have fallen for that." He looked down at her body and seemed to see it for the first time.
"Your limbs are bare," he said.
Zoe waited for him to look away shyly. Instead, he said,
"They are beautiful."
"Thank you," she said. "No one's ever said that about my limbs."
X pushed his hair back behind his ears. His face and neck were covered with droplets of water that picked up the light. He took off his coat. He laid it at the side of the pool. He drew Zoe close and put his hand at the small of her back. She could feel it pulsing there. All his shyness had vanished. He seemed hungrier for her than he'd ever been.
"Are you free?"
Zoe asked him.
"Have the lords let you go?" "Do not make me answer," he said. "Let me have this moment."
He took Zoe's hands and placed them on his hips. She knew what he wanted her to do. She pushed up his shirt, her hands sliding slowly up his body. His skin was hot to the touch. The heat jumped to her own palms and traveled up her arms. She felt as if she and X were part of one continuous body now. She tried to hold his eyes, but he looked away as her fingers grazed the welts and bruises that covered his ribs.
"Don't be ashamed,"
said Zoe, her voice a whisper.
"I don't want you to ever be ashamed, okay? You haven't done anything wrong."
X nodded, but she wasn't sure he believed her. Zoe tossed the shirt to the side of the pool. She missed. The shirt landed on the water and hung suspended like a jellyfish. Zoe didn't notice. She stared at the tattoos along X's forearms. She smiled.
"What is it?"
he said.
"Tell me."
"Nothing," she said.
She'd been looking at the giraffe with the spiked tail. X pulled her even closer now and took her face in his hands. He tilted it up toward him.
"I loved your letter," he said.
Zoe had forgotten about the thing.